welcome all of you to worship this night on this Thanksgiving Eve. We will follow the order of service in your service folder, and we hope that this is a good Thanksgiving service for you as you prepare yourselves for the National Day of Thanksgiving, but more than that, reminding ourselves of what we are thankful for as Christians here in this place and this time. And a couple announcements. This Sunday, we'll ask all the congregation members to stay after worship, if they would, and they'll do some church decorating. You're all welcome to stay after church and decorate for Christmas. The Christmas season is coming, and we look forward to that, and Advent season is coming as well. Tonight, we begin our worship with our opening hymn, number 538, and we thank the Handbell Choir for being part of our worship service this evening as well. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I invite you to turn to Psalm 107. The Psalms are in the front of our hymnal. And Psalm 107, we'll use the first nine verses. We'll read them responsively by half verses as we enter into God's house with thanksgiving this day. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. And we continue our worship with the hymn of praise number 791. You may be seated. We bow our heads for prayer. Almighty God, you have given us this good land as our heritage. Grant that we remember your generosity and constantly do your will. Bless our land with honest industry, truthful education, and an honorable way of life. Save us from violence, discord, confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil course of action. Grant that we who come from many nations with many languages may become a united people. Support us in defending our liberties and give those to whom we have entrusted the authority of government, the spirit of wisdom, that there may be justice and peace in our land. When times are prosperous, may our hearts be thankful, and in troubled times, do not let our trust in you fail. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to listen to the word of God about thanksgiving. The Bible says a lot about thanks. King David knew a lot about thanks. And in the first book of Chronicles in the Old Testament in chapter 29, David offers a prayer of thanksgiving at a time of great joy in his nation to the people. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and power and glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth belongs to you. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, for you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we stand for the reading of the gospel lesson. We read a familiar story from Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we continue with our hymn of the day, number 785. You may be seated. heads for prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you for all things, for our life and breath, for our body and soul and all our senses, for our home and family, for food and clothing. But above all else, we thank you for the word you have given us about Jesus. Help us understand and be thankful for the right thing with a right spirit which directs all that we do to you. Thank you for this time and this moment. Amen. Our gospel lesson provides a really wonderful moment of thankfulness and God's response to thankful people. I'd like you to consider this event in the life of Jesus from Luke's gospel. And you've heard this story from chapter 17, but I'd like you to think about it maybe in a little different way this night. We read that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he came to a village, 10 lepers came toward him, and they stopped and called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and let the priests examine you." And here's what happened. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, seeing he was healed, turned back and loudly praised God. He bowed to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. There is a story about a young man who wanted to propose marriage to a young woman. And so he went out and he bought a ring. And he came to her and he bought this beautiful, expensive diamond ring in this very fancy velvet blue box. He gave it to the young woman and she looked at it and opened it up and she said to him, I can't believe it. This is the most beautiful blue box I've ever seen. And the man was a little bit worried. So he was going to have to live with her the rest of his life. You know, this sounds like a silly story, but and I would hope that any girl wouldn't do that. But it often seems that we are a lot like this at Thanksgiving, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we sit down and we list all the things we have to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is about food and clothing and health and home and family, and those things are all good. Of course, these are the gifts and blessings that kind of wrap up our life, though. It's not what our life is all about. It's not as if all these things were gone, we wouldn't have anything to be thankful for as Christians. They're not the heart and the center. They're not really what's inside that we have to be thankful for. All of the blessings, the earthly blessings we have, are a lot more like a box that hold the real thing of value that we as Christians care about, and that's our faith in Jesus Christ, something that's left even if all those other blessings would be taken away. Martin Luther said that in his hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." They can take away my wife, my goods, my fame, my child, and even my own life. And all these things can be gone, and yet I still have the thing inside that is most important. And it's maybe in that thought that I think about this story of the 10 lepers. Leprosy was a serious disease, still is, but it can be treated today. It was a skin condition, and it was an infection that was very contagious. And in the Old Testament, people with those kinds of illnesses would remove themselves from the rest of their community, and they would do it willingly. They didn't want their children and everyone else to be infected with this, so they would go off by themselves. And it must have been a very hard life, not much to be thankful for. 10 lepers, 10 men, see Jesus coming from a distance. They're walking to their city, and they must have heard about him being a healer and a teacher, and they call out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Literally, in the Hebrew language, which is what they were speaking, the Bible says, they were saying, "Have pity on us," which is kind of the same. And Jesus had pity on people. He felt their pain and loneliness. He loved them. He wanted to make them well. And he tells these 10 men, "Go and show yourselves to the priests. If for some reason your disease ever disappeared, you could go to the temple to the priest on duty. He would examine you with all of the medical technology they had in those days and see if the infection was gone. And if the priest determined you were cured, he would go through a ceremony with you at the temple. He would say a prayer of thanksgiving, and he would send you home to your family. What a joyful day that would be." And what a joyful day it was for these 10 men as they had Jesus have pity on them. And I'm sure every single one of them was so thrilled and excited they couldn't wait to get to the priest. They couldn't wait to go through this ceremony. They couldn't wait to get back to their families. They had to be terribly excited. And I believe that all 10 of these men, after they had gone through that process and after they had been sent home with their families and were reunited, I believe that every single one of them had a Thanksgiving dinner that was the greatest Thanksgiving they'd ever had. Their families could be with them. They could hug them. They could have their children sit on their lap. They could go back to work. They could go back to their community. I don't believe for a minute that those men weren't thankful. They were. They surely were grateful. In their excitement, though, they had overlooked the real gift. In a way, they had seen the box, but they hadn't opened up and seen what was inside. One of the men stopped, the Bible says, and instead of going straight to the priest, instead of going straight back to his family, he came back to Jesus. And he didn't just come back and shake his hand and say, "Thank you very much, I appreciate it, I'll be on my way." The Bible tells us very clearly that he came back and he threw himself down at Jesus' feet. That's not a normal thing to do. I don't normally go up to people and fall down at their feet and bow down and worship them. And I shouldn't. But this man came back and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he bowed down. And Jesus said, "Weren't all 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? What was the difference between the one man who returned and bowed down at Jesus' feet and the other 9 who went on their way? Was one of them thankful and the other 9 not? I don't think so. I think they were all thankful. Jesus had given them all a gift, a fantastic gift to have a normal life with their home and their families. He'd given them all a beautiful blue box. They were all excited and they took the gift and they ran off. They were thankful for what they had received. But one man opened the box, if you will, and inside he found the thing of real value. He realized that he had come face to face with his God and his Savior, with the God who loved him so much he was going to save his life, not just from leprosy, but from sin and from death and from the power of the devil. And when he did that, he saw the real gift was Jesus, who was his God and his Lord. He had a peek at the glory of God himself. And when he saw the blessing of his healing, he saw inside of that, not just his physical health, but he saw that he had encountered the God who loved him and had the power to give him life. Jesus observed, "Was no one found to return and give glory to God except this one man who was not even from Israel. He was a foreigner." Luke writes that this man on his knees with his face to the ground was giving thanks to Jesus because he believed he was his God. I think Jesus was disappointed that the 9 could not see their healing as more than just a physical miracle. But he was extremely sensitive to the one who saw what was really in the gift. He told the man, "Rise and go your way. It's good that you're sitting here worshiping me, and you should. But right now, you need to rise and go your way. Go back to your family. You understand what the gift is." And then he said one more thing. He said, "Your faith has made you well." The man already had been healed of his physical disease, but now he was made well by his faith that Jesus Christ was his God and Savior. This one man really didn't receive any more than the rest of them did. He just opened it up and saw what the gift really was inside. The very same word that Scripture uses to make well is used in Paul's letter to Timothy when he tells him that God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He literally says he wants all people to be well, to understand that the gifts God gives us, the things he gives us in this earthly life are just a box. But inside that box of blessings is the real blessing that God gives us. And that's faith that we have a God who loves us and a Savior who has come to forgive our sins and give us a new life in heaven. He's not saying that this man, because of his faith, was cured of leprosy. He is saying that he has been made well in a far greater way than these other 9 were. Everything Jesus does points us to God. Everything Jesus gives us in our life points us to God. Do you have food? Do you have health? Do you have family? Do you have blessings in your life? They all are meant to point us back to the God who loves us and has given us the one true gift that we need, the real diamond of God's perfect love for imperfect sinners, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans. And if I don't, if I remember correctly, that's Pastor Wing's favorite verse, that in this, God shows his love for sinners. While we didn't deserve anything, he gave us a gift, not just food, clothing, shelter, but he gave us the forgiveness of our sins and a new life with God forever. When we look up from all the earthly blessings, we see the alive and glorious God, Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead, who has died on a cross to forgive our sins, and gives us a new life. That's the gift. Every blessing God gives us, and even sometimes the challenges he gives us, are meant to point us to Jesus. Christians are thankful for the real gift. And I believe that this Thanksgiving Day, those who trust and hope in Jesus will celebrate thankfulness as well as those who don't. There are people all over this country who are celebrating our National Day of Thanksgiving. Some of them don't have a clue as to what the real gift is. They'll just be celebrating that velvet blue box. And they'll be holding it up and saying what a great gift it is. But Christians will be putting the blue box aside. And yes, it's beautiful, and yes, it's wonderful, and it's nice to have, but the real gift is the diamond of knowing God's love in Jesus Christ, and that's the thing we hold up. The thing we hold up is the diamond. We wear it. We want everyone to see it. It's a symbol of who we are. And what do we do with that gift? Same thing that a child does with a wonderful gift. They hold it up, and they thank the giver of the gift. But they show everybody what the gift is. We talk about it all the time. We don't just put it on a shelf or in a drawer. We wear it. It becomes part of us. And so on this day, bow before God and thank him for the gift. Don't just thank him for the box, for the food, clothing, shelter, and family, and all the things that make up the blessings of this life. Hold up the real gift, and that's Jesus Christ in your life. And thank God that that's a gift that will never go away, and it will last forever. Amen. And now we rise and go our way. Our faith has made us well, and we do that by sharing our offerings with God, a symbol of our thankfulness, and the handbell choir will play as we receive our offering now. We continue our worship with the responses and prayers in the middle of page 285, beginning with the responses, O Lord, have mercy. We stand for prayer. O Lord,
have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life. For you have been my help. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Save your people and bless your heritage. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. O Lord, we ask you now to forgive your people from all their offenses, from the bonds of sin, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves. Help us to be thankful for the one gift that you give us above all other gifts, and that is the forgiveness of our sins and a promise of eternal life with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together in singing our next hymn, hymn number 516. You may be seated.
We stand for our closing prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us and all the gifts we receive from your bountiful goodness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. He provides food for cattle and the young ravens. His pleasure is not in the strength of beasts. It's in the delight of the legs of man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. We thank you, Lord God, Heavenly Father, for all your benefits through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in praying our morning prayer on page 280, or our evening prayer on page 287. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless us, defend us from every evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And we close our worship this night with hymn number 805, Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. The handbell choir will play it through once, and then there will be an introduction to the congregation joining in and singing. And we'll remain standing for our closing hymn.